Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 19th on the West Coast, now January the 20th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to thank Dr. Len Horowitz for asking you to stay online to listen to our show tonight. We got a great one for you, and I'm finding what Dr. Horowitz had to talk about pretty interesting. He's going to be appearing with Penn and Teller. or I'm wondering if it's just going to be Penn. How do you appear with a guy that doesn't talk and carry on a conversation? But we'll find out. I don't know all the particulars about that, but it sounds like it'll be very interesting to hear somebody that can argue and debate the issues on the facts. And I'm sure the media will try to spin it like they usually do, but should be very challenging. Well, we got some good news from the state of Massachusetts. Scott Brown, running on the GOP ticket, won Teddy Kennedy's Senate seat, wrestled it away from a half a century of control by the Democratic Party. Very interesting things going on in Massachusetts. It presents somewhat of a problem now with this health care bill that they're trying to ram down everybody's throat. And, of course, people deserve health care, but not under the terms, not under the draconian legislation that they've snuck into this whole thing. And you'll hear who's behind that with tonight's guest. He is a metaphysical scientist of sorts. He is an environmental scientist, a historian, an herbalist, former chemist, and a musician, our good friend Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks for inviting me back.
Oh, no problem. What's your take on Massachusetts? Does it sound like something? Sounds certainly like the voters are ticked off, that's for sure.
Yes, definitely. I'm just afraid that the Americans are going to think the Republican Party is the answer.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're as complicit as the Democrats are for the deep hole our country is in right now. They voted for NAFTA, CAFTA, and they support the Federal Reserve illegal operation, on and on. So that's the only sad part, and hopefully the Americans are aware of this. But it's good news as far as it's definitely given a hand sign to the Obama administration, and I like that part of it.
Yeah, of course. When we're talking about political parties, aren't we really saying that they're two sides of the same coin?
Yes, sir, and that's a Federal Reserve coin.
Yeah, which is backed by a fiat dollar bill.
Which is backed by nothing but our debt and labor.
And a little bit of thin air.
Yes, that's right, Don. And of course, you know, Massachusetts does have this form of health care in its state, Don. Every citizen in Massachusetts has to pay an insurance company for coverage. Otherwise, they're breaking a law. And so will this Mr. Brown, the new senator from Massachusetts, will he try to turn that around for the people of Massachusetts? Because that's outrageous. And that's a prototype of what they want to do to our entire country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was unfamiliar with this platform, I have to say. It is an unusual election, you know, based upon the death of Teddy Kennedy.
Right.
But certainly the path that Kennedy had laid out for us was him towing the line for all the years of escapement from the responsibility of the death of Mary Jo Kopechne,
mm-hmm.
The Chappaquiddick incident, and other issues that have come up over the years. of course, he played a major role in a lot of the other corruption that was going on down there in Palm Beach, Florida, West Palm Beach, I should say, over the years, and the drug ties that that area has there, and that property that he lived on.
Teddy is not in a good place right now, Don, and that's what happens to all people of that type, that take advantage of people and situations to serve their own self-interest above what's right and what God expects and also what's best for our country. And those kind of acts are called treason. And he's not in a very nice place right now. And he's just going to be making room for the rest of his cronies that will be all joining him eventually.
Yeah, well, that's been prophesied, hasn't it, by many?
Well, that's the law of creation.
Yeah.
These dirtbags want to make all these phony laws and impose them on us, which they don't have any real merit to them because they contradict our constitutional freedoms or our freedoms, divine freedoms that the Constitution demands our government respects. And they are counter to everything that this country was all about. And the law of creation is, you know, what goes around comes around, and God is just. A lot of times it looks like he isn't because of all the crime that is committed down here and how they get away with it for so long. But God is just. You know, the old saying, Don, ancient saying, actually, the wheels of the gods grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will escape eventually the grinding mechanism of God's justice. Nothing will escape those teeth as they grind down. And if there's some squashing that has to be done, it will get done.
Well, yeah, speaking of squashing, there's been a lot of squashing going on in Haiti these days. Of course, that's not intended to be a snide remark, just a metaphor.
Now, Don, is it correct that with this earthquake incident down there, that one half of the island, the Dominican Republic, is unaffected, but the other half, that is Haiti, is the only area that's impacted?
More,
is that true?
Well, more appropriately, along those lines, it's the western third of the island, which is Haiti, and the eastern, or you could say the central and eastern two-thirds, are the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
So we're talking about this small region where the buildings are leveled. We've talked about this on a couple of shows already this week, but certainly we can discuss it further. The damage to the buildings, and of course the loss of life of those people that were buried in the rubble of many of the buildings, I'm told 70% of the governmental infrastructure is damaged, but the roads are untouched. Now, usually when you have a massive earthquake, let's take the San Francisco quake, and I think they said that quake was centered in Gilroy, if I remember correctly, although certainly that must have been some kind of a technological quake. It brought down over a mile of the upper level of the Nimitz Freeway. And you're talking about construction standards that are drastically different from those in Haiti, in that poor country. And none of the roads were damaged in Haiti. You had bridges. You had problems with cars falling off of bridges and into the ocean. If you remember the fissures that were taking place on the bridges as the cars were driving across. And I'm speaking about the San Francisco quake.
Mm-hmm.
And there was damage in Oakland, which is on the other side of the bay, and the surrounding regions. We felt that earthquake. I was in California at the time, mm-hmm. and they felt the quake all the way down in San Diego, and certainly up in the state of Washington, a 7.0. How is it that a 7.0 strikes this island, and that's the only place there's damage there, and the roads are untouched?
Yeah, that's all curious.
Very improbable. Well, we've ascertained that it's likely HAARP that was used to create that. It was an artificial quake and possibly even some underwater explosives in the area.
Well, it seems so localized, Don, that sure, I don't know if HAARP would have the means of being able to focus so specifically into such a small spot.
HAARP has an array, let's say, an array of transmitters that function sort of like repeaters or precision target targets for those areas. You can Google HAARP and you can actually see some of the maps of these towers or these arrays that are set up to do just that. There's one pretty much in the proximity of that area, so it can be done. They have the technology to do this with satellite as well. Don't kid yourself. But I'm not saying that that's how it was done. It appears from the research that some have done that it was HAARP. Even Dr. Brooks Agnew, who has a show on BBS Radio, came out with a YouTube presentation showing how they create such an event. Mm-hmm. He has a YouTube lab presentation of those particular studies where they attack the shelves with ELF waves and they can cause this sort of like a slip fault type of earthquake.
Okay, that's fine, but then do they have the ability to keep it so localized?
Absolutely, they do. Tesla had a handheld device.
Yes, that's correct.
You know, and we're talking.
That's right. That's not anything like HAARP, though.
No, but it's a principle that is very localized, and yet as
Tesla.
A handheld device that caused an earthquake.
Absolutely. That's, if anything, Don, what I think would have been used here, because it seems so localized. That HAARP doesn't seem as probable as a Tesla technology, that palm-sized device that can generate an earthquake. That's a localized earthquake, very localized.
Well,
that's more than likely, HAARP, if it was man-made, how they pulled it off.
Trust me, HAARP can do it. And plenty of people have come out and said it. So,
well,
those in the know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this array, the system affords them the possibility of using it multiple frequencies. They can control consciousness of a population and bombard us with a totally different, you know, frequency.
Yeah, well,
or frequencies
sure.
At the same time, they're pulling off an event like that. That's what I'm saying.
I understand that ability, Don. It's just I'm questioning how focused can they make that radio beam, radio wave beam, and affect just a very localized area. Tesla, for sure, he demonstrated it no problem down in Manhattan, right at his laboratory.
Yeah, well, literally he did it by holding the object up against the building, and the waves propagate out of that. So, you know, it's, you know, when you're talking about doing something like that at the turn of the century, over 100 years ago, that was quite a feat. Okay, they've come a long way with the technology since then. Anyway, the cry for money and the fact that the Bush-Clinton cabal want the money to go into their own 501c3 corporation, send us the money, don't send it to anybody else, don't get scammed, send us cash, even a dollar, Bill Clinton said.
Yeah, well, you know, again, just like Katrina and the incident out in Indonesia.
Yes.
Okay, guys, let's see them forking out of their own pockets. I just don't see that happening. And, of course, only a naive individual is going to trust those clowns with any money at all.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, as I hear this conversation over the aid to the poor, suffering people down here, which I totally sympathize with, and would like to help them in any way. However, our country gives away millions and billions of dollars a year, a month, and a day, a year, a day, a month, and a year around the clock. That's all we do. We're flat broke. All we do is give away, through our government's programs, foreign aid all over the place. But we have all kinds of needs here. And that's the only thing, Don. I'm into helping neighbors. But first, I want to make sure my home and my backyard is the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm all for helping a neighbor. And I'll even help a neighbor while I'm trying to get my place together. But I'm not going to give everything that I need to get my place finely tuned, razor sharp, a smooth running engine system that will have a promising future. I'm not going to sacrifice all of those necessary materials and resources. In this case, it would be money. And give it to those that may not even like you. And so our country's been in that mode for the last century, definitely post-World War II. And that really disappoints me.
Yeah.
I want to see American money helping Americans first, Don.
Absolutely. We talked about that on the past couple of nights. And specifically, now the news has come out that they want to give $500 billion to Haiti. I'm not saying Haiti shouldn't get any help. But
sure.
You see, this whole thing is targeted around the centricity of the financial cables that run through Haiti, going to Latin America, to Africa, and to Europe, to the banks. This appears to be another bank heist, military coup to take over, and they use the pretext of this, you know, alleged natural disaster. Which anybody thinking outside the box just for a couple of seconds says, wait a minute, how come the damage isn't everywhere? Why is it so centralized?
Sure, right, so localized, strange.
Yes, that's the issue. Why didn't it affect at all Costa Rica? Not Costa Rica, but I mean
Dominican Republic.
or any of the other surrounding.
The other side of the island.
Yeah, Cuba.
How big is that island?
Oh, you know, and they're going to take, they're talking about opening up Guantanamo Bay Detention Center to take Haitians there.
I'm afraid they're going to bring a lot here too, Don. We're just the country that they just don't care about our country at all and how much it can absorb before it just can't take any more, and so it's not a good situation all the way around, no question about it. But again, those that should be held accountable aren't, and that's Slick Willie and the Bushes and Obama and the people they work for, the international banksters behind all of this chicanery, and they're just not held accountable. Nobody's pointing the finger at them yet.
Yeah.
That day will come, Don. That day will come.
Now, imagine that they're going to give, or they've stated. Do you honestly think that if they targeted $500 billion for relief there, that those people would see any of that money?
Of course not.
Yeah,
of course not.
And why does it take a disaster like that to get the government to support the people, and we've got homeless people all over this country who've been thrown out of their homes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Don.
These Ponzi schemes.
Hey, that's it. Amen. Now, where does our government even get the authority to say, well, we have to give them so much money because we have to have, you know, compassion? That's not our government's role. That's a private sector role of generosity and compassion coming from the people. And through their institutions, not the government. The government has no business doing that. But, of course, the government doesn't have any business doing anything they're doing pretty much today. They're very limited in their true authority that we give them as representatives of ours. Very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're way beyond their design.
Yeah. So
and intentions of what they're there for.
Yeah. So $500 trillion is going to more likely be used as startup capital for them to continue their Ponzi schemes in the derivative hedge fund market. You see.
And well, they're going to milk that as far as they can, Don, as they escalate us towards this global economy. Okay, and so they're racketeers, and that's what they do. And they will make a dime and nickel and penny off every situation 24/7. That's all they do, and it's their system, it's their racket, and that's what they do. But regardless how they're going to exploit that money, that they're going to, again, steal from people that are naive this time. And ultimately, though, they're heading everything towards this globalism and this one-world economy, one-world currency, one-world banking system. And so no matter how much they're making right now, they do plan on somehow transferring everything to this global system. And whether it's going to be just a hard crash and then all of a sudden, here's the answer, here's the fix, this is how we're going to do things now. Or if it's going to be a gradual, slow transition, the way they do everything, so incrementally, you don't even notice it happening until after so many years. It's like, wow, we're not even the United States anymore. We're a banana republic.
Yeah. Now, don't you find it suspicious that in May of 2009, Bill Clinton was appointed the UN special envoy to Haiti, and then this occurs, and there he is, right there, ready to collect the money, keeping it.
Don, now that you mention it, it reminds me of while we had Slick Willie's commie administration, he was also doing something in Haiti during his administration, wasn't he? Bringing in a new dictator, I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you see, so.
Yep. Yeah, so they're tying in loose ends right now. That must be what's going on.
Well, I was hoping you were going to say more than that, but
well, that's all I can speculate on that. But we know the agenda, and we know right now where we are as a country, and we have to focus on us intently. And that's what I hope we start to see throughout this year. And with this election in Massachusetts, hopefully it's going to send a signal that everybody's getting ticked off, and rightfully so. And I just hope, though, that we manage to realize that the Republican Party itself is going to betray us again, just like they've done in the past, making all these promises. I mean, look at the pattern. We have... After Reagan, we get Bush. And read my lips, but then here comes the taxes. And so everybody's pretty much dismayed with Bush, and Clinton gets elected, looking for change. Clinton's bright hope, new change. And, of course, he digs us in a deeper hole there where old man Bush left us off at. Everybody after 8 years of Clinton's are, like, pretty tired of that act. We need some change, and along comes Bush the light, Bush, Boy George, Bush Jr., and change again. He's going to bring change, and so they just flip-flop us from one party to the next as we get tired of one party and their crap. Then they sell the next party, the other party, as new now. All of a sudden, they're new. Oh, yeah, here's all the promises that you know they're going to break every one that's a real good promise for us, for our benefit. And they just flip-flop us back and forth. And, I mean, when's everybody going to catch on? Like you say, you know, opposite sides to the same coin. And hopefully this year, with the upcoming elections, we're going to have some kind of plan so that we don't end up with repeating the same old cycles again. I mean, we're repeating history here. Both parties are working for the same boys at the Federal Reserve. And all their promises are going to be broken towards us. And everything will stay on track. Nothing will change except the rush towards globalism and the dismantling of the United States as a sovereign nation and the greatest nation on the planet.
Yeah. Now, there is a stream of regurgitated emails going around again about Supreme Court lawsuits involving the citizenship of the long-legged Mac Daddy.
Yes, Don. I was heartbroken to see that that's apparently a hoax. I just sent it out through my email chain saying, hey, guys, looking promising here, but another heartbreaker. it's not really happening.
Of course, the email and the facts were checked out by the websites that put out hoax information.
Yeah, Don, that's right. This could be true because I was looking at some of that, and I'm like, oh, man, these guys are lying about all their supposed facts, lies.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you're absolutely right. Maybe it is true.
I was just going to say, and it's carrying on the Hegelian dialectical argument over Hawaii and Kenya.
Yes.
Again.
Well, you know, as long as we nail him for not being naturally born here, he doesn't qualify, and he is definitely born in a foreign land somewhere. And, you know, actually, Don...
Foreign planet.
Yeah, well, my data from all my research recently is coming to the conclusion that he was never born, but he was actually hatched.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I sort of came to that conclusion, too, didn't I? Maybe in a different, slightly different way. Well, those are pretty much the arguments of news that are out there today, and it's.
Did you hear this one? This was the late breaking news that the Nobel Peace Prize that they gave them, they're going to take it back.
Now, this is official, or is this just?
Yeah, well, I heard that. They gave him the wrong one. He was supposed to get the dumbbell piece of crap prize instead. And so... just had to throw that one in. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I like calling it the Nobel Pepper Pizza Prize, actually.
it is a joke.
It's a farce, and this is somehow supposed, this hoax is supposed to add credibility to another hoax.
Sure. You know. Yeah, and on that supposed facts site that gives you all the facts, they claim that, you know, hey, this guy's got a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, come on, he's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a lot going on. You know, I haven't seen the flood of pandemic flu vaccine emails that are out there. Maybe I'm blessed that I'm not getting them.
Mm-hmm.
It's
been quiet.
Yeah, it's been quiet. Obviously, it didn't work. And, you know, this 3 months on, 3 months off wave, we're about in the area where they may try to kickstart it again. Mm-hmm. I still hear reference to it. I could be in the car and turn on the radio and they'll bring some news blurb up, burp maybe is a better word, where, you know, thousands of people are getting their vaccines and make sure you get one and this and that. And the people are seeing the truth behind the lie. They're seeing that this is disinformation by and large. There are some people that just don't have a clue and they're going to go and do that and they're going to get the flu. And, you know, I'm talking to people that are complaining about having it, and then I ask them, well, did you get a flu shot? Well, yeah, I didn't want it to hit me hard. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes,
you can't criticize them. They're making their own choices.
Well,
I ask them,
they're just not receptive to the facts and the truth yet.
How are you going to find out when you find out that you're partially the cause of spreading it to somebody else? How are you going to feel then?
Sure.
While you're trying to protect yourself, you don't know if you are protecting yourself. You're being told you're protecting yourself.
There's the bottom line. You're allowing a stranger who you're now all of a sudden trusting with your very personal property, which is your body. They're going to stick a needle in you and inject into you foreign substances, and you have no idea what that is, but you're believing and trusting that it's all good. Whoa. I step back right there and say, man, how can you be so naive with that one? I mean, without doing your homework and research before, say, okay, doc, stick that needle in my personal property. That's going to totally affect me maybe for the rest of my life. I don't know, Don. But they pull the wool over the eyes. But there's a lot of people catching on. Absolutely. It's great to see that. More and more people. I mean, it bombed. A lot of people didn't rush out for the shots. And they're sitting on a stockpile from the pharmaceuticals. Who knows what they're going to do with it? They must be trying to think of something right now, I'm sure. Some kind of comeback plan. And to manage to get us to fall for that shot, that vaccine. But right now, it looks real good because it fell through. And that's a victory for us as far as everyone that wants freedom and privacy in their lives and also wants to protect and guard their health personally without the intrusion of an outsider representing the government here to help you.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, issues of health that are concerning some people right now, and you and I had discussed the possibility of us talking about health on this show tonight. There are a lot of people that are, they're coming to some realization that they need to start taking care of their health, and they're hearing sort of the message, well, you know, what you're eating is important, and the usual problem that people have, all the associated illnesses and discomforts and aggravations, physical aggravations they have, are based upon overweight conditions, obesity. I'm amazed at some of the people that are just oblivious to how much they weigh. You know, a person 5'2" or 5'3" that has to weigh 400 pounds has a problem. And I'm sure there are a lot of side problems that come along with being obese, but that person is lacking a certain amount of self-respect and then subjecting themselves to all kinds of disease. People want to say, well, wait a minute, you don't know why I'm overweight. You know, how dare you say that? But you can't put weight on unless you're eating enough to support that weight, you know, manifest it, right?
That's a fact. Unless you're just subsisting on pretty much botanicals, fruit and vegetables. I mean, you could eat a wheelbarrow of apples, and they're not going to put, you know, fat on you. It's just not going to happen.
Well, it's what you eat. If you're eating a lot of carbohydrates, you're getting, a lot of starch.
Yeah, that's right. Starch, animal flesh.
A lot of protein. And
a lot of that.
And the wrong kinds.
Yeah. And
fats,
yeah,
certain types of fats.
Bad fats.
Sugars.
Yes,
and
yep, bad sugars. But mainly the bad fats, like you say, with a lot of heavy proteins and starch mixed in. And, Don, it's essentially, most of the time, it's the stomach gets larger and larger. As you put more in, it expands. It gets bigger. So now you need more to satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
So just reverse. If you keep cutting back and allowing the stomach to shrink and shrink and shrink back down, then it's going to take less and less to fill it and make you feel satisfied.
Yeah.
And then that's at the physical level. You also have the nourishment factor.
Yep.
You could eat pounds and pounds of what I call stuffing and be hungry just a few hours later because there was no real nourishment in that stuffing, feeding the body so that the cells are content. But you could eat just a small quantity of something highly nourishing, like even my dragon juice, drink some of that, and you'll be held over, not hungry for a while. And even my herbal tea, I have a farmer who uses my products. And he's pretty new as a client. And now his family, and they're all, really doing well. He just gave me a good report, his son with pneumonia. He says, yeah, by the way, Mike, my son's pneumonia is pretty much gone already. And so always great to hear that. And he told me while we were talking, he's a farmer, a big farm, works all year round on it. It's a big commercial farm. And he told me that, Mike, you're right. He says, when I'm feeling hungry, I just drink some of your herbal tea. And I'm amazed how I'm held over now for a while and I can keep working and feel good. And so that's all because of the nourishment factor. Doesn't matter about great quantity. It's the quality of the nourishment. And then the cells are satisfied because they're getting what they need. And once they're satisfied, then there's no more hunger happening in the stomach for a while. And unfortunately, they don't teach us this, Don, and in school, because if they did, then more and more young people, when they're young, would understand how it works, and we'd have a lot more people in shape.
Mm-hmm.
And less people that, not as many people that are round and soft that are like around. I mean, there's so many today, it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Especially with the kids. But then we have to be aware that a lot of the foods they're eating are these fast foods or processed foods or what I call laboratory foods. And therefore they have these synthetics in it, you know, artificial this and that. And so what happens is that a lot of times as well, these people could that are really have a weight issue, especially overweight, the thyroid could be out of balance,
mm-hmm.
and they go what they call hypo, and therefore the weight is being put on because of a thyroid imbalance.
Yeah.
So you have that component in this problem too, but it's all easy to fix, Don. It's not a mystery. Easy to fix, and it does take discipline, and it's sad when I hear about people, and I knew someone had her stomach stapled just to lose weight. And I'm like, I'm telling her brother, just don't eat. Just don't eat so much. Don't put yourself through that. Stapling your stomach.
Well, now a lot of the problems, and I'm glad you brought up the issue of the processed foods, because the flavor enhancers or the appetite enhancers that they put in these things, chips and crackers and cookies and cereals, and they put in a lot of stuff. They put it in the junk food that you can buy at fast food restaurants too.
And
they,
sure.
And then people are consuming bleached flour and white sugar and in all kinds of various forms, not really caring what they're doing to their body. They're thinking, well, I ate all that stuff. You know, a diet means I stop eating so much, and then they go
right
through withdrawal symptoms, or they're fighting the after effects of all the toxicity that's built up because of the foods that they've eaten, because
right
they haven't come up with a way to eliminate those toxins. In other words,
yes, they're not just educated enough on how it all works,
yeah,
to get out of that situation and get back to a state of feeling, you know, good, healthy and energized.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of education. But no question about it, Don, that's the world we live in. Everything's designed to consume us. It takes work, effort, to manage to remain healthy when everything's designed to make us sick. And it's also it takes work on our part to maintain some kind of wealth, because everything's designed to suck us dry financially.
Yeah.
And so this is the system we're trapped in. And that's why it's so commonplace to see so many people succumbing to health issues. It takes work and effort. You have to want it, number one. And as I show all my clients over the years, to get in shape without going to a gym and be totally fit and energized, and they're always amazed. And they realize how simple it is. It's just controlling what you ingest. And when you do ingest something, make sure it is really food that has the nourishment factor that's going to be able to keep your body very healthy, and which equates to a temple-like condition, because that's the way we should really be taught, Don. If we understand the body physically is a temple, it's a home we live in, it's a house. We're given it at birth, and we depart it at death. And this home is pretty perfect, even though it's an imperfect world. It's pretty perfect. It's born and it develops and it matures and everything comes about, so you have a normal, healthy body, and as well as a mind. All of that's integrated. And so we're clearly being loaned this. And when it's really in healthy shape, it's like a temple, because the good Lord's Holy Spirit is part of that. It's what's making our hearts beat and our body's metabolism to function. While we're talking right now, and there's all kinds of metabolic activities going on to cellular level within the lungs, in the heart, all the glands, all the organs. Now, who's orchestrating all that? Who's making it happen? I surely am not. I'm talking to you. I'm too busy talking to you concentrating on the topic. So who's doing that? There's an intelligence going on there, that's for sure, but I am not directing it. That is the manifestation of God. People don't have to go to the Himalayas or look around for God somewhere there and there. You're carrying Him around 24/7. And so the body's technically a temple because it is the dwelling place of the Almighty Himself. But we're taught to drive Him out once we're born. You know, as I teach generally in my opening statements in a consultation or a little seminar class, I usually open up with, as soon as we're born, we're taught how to die. And I usually get that quizzical look, like, what? By an hour or two or three into the conversation, when somebody raises their hand, asks me a question, and I say, oh, because when we're born, we're taught how to die. They go, oh, yeah, got it. And so that's how it is. And we're taught to destroy the most beautiful possession we could ever have, and that is our body in temple condition. It's our true wealth, and without that, we have nothing. No matter how much material money, wealth, you know, material things we have and money, doesn't matter if you don't have the ultimate wealth, which is health, optimum health. And so they don't want us to think like that, and they do everything they can so that we don't. And unfortunately, that's why we see so many frail people out there today and not understanding, like you say, Don, they don't have self-respect. They're not consciously aware of their own presence and that magnificent body that they were given to be a temple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I'm getting some chat messages here, Michael. There are some people that are interested in purchasing your dragon juice and herbal tea. And,
great.
And so if you want to give out some information for them to contact you.
I sure will. Thank you, Don.
You can do that. You don't have to do it at this moment unless you choose to.
We can. Whatever time you feel comfortable with, Don.
We can do that toward the end of the show if you want. That way
we can
stay focused on the topic, and we'll wrap up with, you know, all those particulars.
So hang in there, everybody listening, and we'll get to that.
Now, you know, there are some people that have made a career out of being overweight for a variety of reasons. Some are in the movies. A guy that comes to mind, this is somebody that we talked about when I was in grade school, Happy Humphrey, who was otherwise known as by his real name, William J. Cobb. As a professional wrestler, he weighed 750 pounds. And
How tall was he?
I really don't know how tall he was.
I hope he was at least 7'5".
Oh, no, nothing like that. I think he was somewhere, you know, in the 6-foot range from what I recall.
My gosh.
And there was a point, I recall, where he had gotten up to 1,200 pounds. Now, he eventually went on a diet after he retired from wrestling. Number one, I think he had the Guinness Book of World Records for being the world's heaviest man, and then another one for losing the most weight. But he, you know, he was born in 1926, and so he was wrestling, you know, when we were kids. And he lost his, you may remember this wrestler, Haystacks Calhoun. He lost the championship. I guess you would call it the heavyweight championship.
Truly, literally.
The mega weight championship. he lost to Haystacks Calhoun when Calhoun threw him out of the ring, and he couldn't make it back into the ring by the count of 20.
Wow.
So he lost by default. You know? I guess they gave him the extra 10 count because of their size, you know.
I mean, once you fall down, how do you get back up without help?
but they've sort of made, you know, some of these old TV shows like That's Incredible and a few other specials that would come out from time to time would capitalize on the people that were obviously, you know, clinically beyond help until they could get them out of the house. literally in a couple of cases, they had to cut the doors. You know, the fire department would come because the person had to use the bathroom and they couldn't get out of the room. Or people, you know, people finally just said, you know, look, if we don't get you to a hospital, if we don't get you professional help, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And you have these extreme cases. And but the situation, even though they might not be as dire, and these are people that are lying in a special surgical or a special therapeutic bed that was manufactured for them. Somebody knowing that, you know, when this person weighed 500 pounds, they needed a different kind of bed so they could sleep on a mattress. So they would get a special bed made for them and then keep putting on weight. They were assisted by those supposedly taking care of them in putting on further weight, discouraged from getting up and going out and exercising or walking. Mm-hmm. I would think even standing up would do something. And they would tolerate bed sores and every kind of.
Yeah, that's a real anomaly among, you know, people in this type of situation with a weight problem. Very strange to be able to accept that for yourself.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to the person that thinks clearly.
Yeah.
And so that's strange. Strange karma there, Don, with an individual as such, you know. But when you just see generally so many people, when you're out and about, like in a mall is a great place, where I like to sit back and observe. Just observe people, get a feel of where we are at with the type of people we have around us, because that gives you a good feel of what our present will be like in our future. And to see so many people out of shape, just, you know, like soft, and they're young. And it's like, you know, I just don't recall seeing it that often when I was younger. Well, generally, everybody was, I mean, there's always, not everybody's always in great shape, athletic condition. That's true. And those that are lucky. And we were, because that's how I am, and my brothers and a lot of people I grew up with. But even those that weren't in great athletic form, but they play ball with us, football, basketball, baseball, and they were all good. We always had fun. And but you don't see that anymore. And it's got to be the diet, no question about it. The diet coupled with those early vaccinations done that the parents allow their kids to get.
Yeah.
Because they're coerced into believing they have to so they can go to the public school system.
Yeah.
And I think it's that combo for sure that's making the kids this way and people in general. We have to turn it around. They want that, of course. We want people that are strong, energetic, ready for anything, razor sharp for the most part. I'm not talking about everybody has to go through boot camp, but in general, if you want a strong country, you have to have strong people. And that means physically and mentally and spiritually. And we need that desperately. That's part of the symptom of what we're describing right now. That's part of the symptoms of the whole problem to our whole country, with it rotting and corrupting from the inside out.
Well, you know, in a sense, and I'm not saying people do this intentionally, this certainly could be happening on a subconscious level and is, you know, affected by a multiplicity of factors. But there always seems to be a loss of self-esteem. You'll have the occasional guy, hey, I'm big and I'm proud of it, you know.
Absolutely, Don. You know, and you hit it, okay? Because I know where you're going now with this, and let me get right to the head of the nail, and that is self-pity, Don. You see, when we allow self-pity, the arch enemy that we face 24/7 is called self-pity. Woe is me. And when we allow that to penetrate us, then we resort to some kind of substance as a crutch. It's a lot of people, it's drugs. A lot of people, it's alcohol. A lot of people, it's tobacco. A lot of people, it's food. And then they, because of the self-pity, Don, you will lose your self respect, integrity, everything. It'll just destroy all that, make you feel like you're nothing. And that's why self-pity can never be accepted or tolerated. Every time you hear it knocking on the door, hey, let me in. Come on. It was a bad day. Darn it, man. Woe is me. Let's pop open that six-pack. Let's do that snort. You know, let's eat that big cake and everything else along with it. And you can't let it in. Or, light, you know, let's smoke that cigarette and drag on that real hard and inhale it deep, man, because you deserve it.
Let's eat that piece of beef.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Let's eat a cow.
Yeah. And you know, the way food is presented to people, it's presented in terms of fun, or it's presented in terms of almost entertainment, actually.
Yes.
It's like an experience. It's not...
Yep, it's, and there's a small place for that when you're socializing, and it's festive. That's what food is great for, festivities. But right, Don, we have to appreciate what real food is and what it means when we ingest it. And it's really a ritual. You know, it's a whole, like when Adam and Eve discovered that they were no longer immortals, that's the allegory with wearing a fig leaf. They realized now they were trapped in mortal sex bodies, no longer immortals dwelling in the perfect garden. And Adam was told he had to eat now. And he says to God, his father, what's that? What do you mean eat? What's this fig? You have to eat it now for your nourishment. And he tried to eat and he couldn't. And he was crying, trying to force himself to eat because he couldn't, because it was foreign, totally an unknown process for his well-being. When he was perfect, there was no the nourishment came direct from his relationship, Adam and Eve's relationship with their father, creator. And so ever since, eating was a ritual, an important holy ritual that we have to do to stay alive, because we're cut off from more direct radiations that come from God when we are really close to him, like all beings are in the heavenly realms.
Yeah.
That are perfect and they didn't fall. And so we have to realize that and take your time when you eat. And you know, the good Lord taught all this, but they took it out of the Bible. But it is in the Essene Gospels of Peace, and anybody can contact me for more information on that, and I'll be more than happy to get you copies or direct you to where you can. And they're incredible, incredibly powerful. As the Lord teaches us that when you eat, take your time and breathe in fresh, clean air and breathe in deep and chew your food really well each bite as it goes into the system. And he expounds on it in intricate detail with the angels of God working and serving man and his body temple, and how eating is part of that process.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I want to give you a chance to give out some contact information for those listeners that may not be listening on the internet or just...
Sure, Don. I'll just give... My phone number is 845-231-1094. That's 845-231-1094, and feel free to contact me at that number, and I will return a call if I'm not here. Within 24 hours, usually. And so feel free to contact me, people, and thank you for the interest. But the Lord taught us everything we need to know, Don, and he is the most important topic I think everyone would need to study. But unfortunately, it's not all in the Bible. And those that get caught up on, but Mike, it's not in the Bible. So therefore, you know, how do you know the Lord said it? And of course, the closer you get to the Lord, then the more you'll know about him and understand what he's all about and what he says, what he taught, what he teaches, and what makes sense as you come across new information. If it makes sense, it fits in,
mm-hmm.
then of course you know it's legitimate, especially when you apply it personally in your life, the teachings, and you see the effects. And if it's positive and it benefits you, then you know the Lord taught it. And if it doesn't work that way, you don't get good fruit from the process, then obviously the Lord would not teach us that.
Well, just to take that argument a step further, there are, you know, I don't recall where it says your favorite fast food restaurant is in the Bible either. And
of course, Don, absolutely. I mean,
and the artificial packaged processed foods
Sure.
The genetically modified foods is something we're dealing with now, too. People,
they call that denaturized.
Yeah.
That's the best way to term it, denaturized. And the Lord was all about nature.
Mm-hmm.
Nature foods. And, of course, absolutely, Don.
Well, that is one aspect of, you know, that whole problem. You know, some, you know, nutritionalists say, you know, once in a while, if you absolutely have to do, you know, fast food because maybe you're traveling and that's all that's available and the kids are crawling out of their skin, that's another thing, too, is that the advertising is directed to the minds of these kids that they may not actually be consciously thinking about it, but when they get hungry, what's triggered is the subliminal message that they've been ingesting on Saturday mornings watching cartoons or...
Sure.
Or any nowadays with cable and satellite TV, they can watch cartoons 24 hours a day. So they're going to get bombarded with those subliminal messages.
Sure, Don. Well, they're exploiting the mechanical universe. You know, I mentioned this in the past on some shows, and we never got into detail.
Yeah.
But the first most powerful force in the mechanical creation that we're trapped in, that impinges on us 24/7, is so powerful, it's what makes the earth spin in man's world. And that's sex. It isn't love, it's sex. And the second most powerful force is hunger. And so they know that, and so they exploit it to the max.
Turning it into hunger for sex.
Well, you know, generally, sex is the most powerful, because you could be really hungry and hungry, but sex will even have more influence on you than the pang in the stomach. But nonetheless, that pang in the stomach is right there, right behind that first most influential force that impinges on us 24/7. And so that hunger has to be satisfied all the time. But however, I would recommend, as I do myself, when I'm hungry and I don't have real natural food available around and I'm still hungry, I wait. But I've been living this way for a long, long time. So I'm already trained and conditioned. It's easy for me. It's no effort to go without eating for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it could be a day, could be 2 days, even drinking.
Well, that's all part of the programming, you know. It's 12 o'clock, it's time to eat.
You got it.
It's 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, it's time to eat.
Make sure it's a three-course meal, too.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and you're told you are what you eat, but you have no idea what it is you're eating.
You're just shoveling it, Don. All you know is it tastes good and you're shoveling it.
Yeah. And then, you know, and there's so much hypocrisy, too, because... You know, the FDA requires their approval, their permission to market certain products, and they're allowing, as you just pointed out, they're allowing these products that affect one's libido or the one's libido apparatus to function, and all they have to do is put this disclaimer up there. Yet if you go up and try on TV to promote a vitamin or something like that, they don't want to see that. They don't want to see health. They'll permit anything that degrades the health and lowers the vibration of the person.
Absolutely, Don. You see, we need strong, energized individuals, a lot of them in this country, so our country becomes very strong and healthy. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. They know that, and they're out to prevent that. And so they're, as counterfeiters, they do the opposite, purporting the whole time that it's good, that it's going to give us healthy results. But of course it never does.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's right. That's their modus operandi all the way.
Well, we're about out of time, but I appreciate you coming on Evident Footprints and glad that we had the opportunity to discuss some of these issues. We could go into a lot more detail, but in a general sense, we have a lot of new listeners all the time that are just picking up the show. And you and I talk about just about everything, as some of my other guests do as well, certainly about the spiritual issues and health issues, and we've talked about history and music and science and even ufology or the reality in other parts of the universe. And certainly we like to bring up these issues from time to time so that people stay focused on it, because we know this, and I'm sure you're noticing this. People are going through a lot of stress right now because of all the uncertainty and all the fear that's peddled.
Absolutely right.
Mostly by the mainstream media. And we're not getting the truthful information, and we see that. There are reasons why we see that, and we're not asking people to believe us, but to open up their minds, and certainly their hearts. When we say open up your mind, you're being bombarded with quite a bit of information, much of which is not true, and so the spiritual element of discernment has to be included.
That's right, Don. You open up the mind, you open up the receptors, however, make sure the filters are in place. So you're filtering out all the nonsense and all the garbage and only allowing the good information to be taken into the organic computer, which is the brain, and into our mind. And that way you don't get too overloaded with information. That's important. And the stress is impossible to avoid. They're creating more and more by the pressures of financial and economic, as well as with health, and then the geopolitical as well. And so we have to stay very healthy. And that way, stress rolls off us like water off a duck's back, and it can't penetrate. There's no avoiding it. We're all going to deal with it, but it's important to make sure that it doesn't penetrate and it just goes off us like water on a duck's back. And I know how to do that very well, and fortunately. And it's all about health, a healthy body, a healthy spirit, and a healthy mind. And when we have all three of those properly aligned and tuned the way they're supposed to be, then we're like a beautiful instrument, and nothing but nice sounds come from us. And that's what makes your life daily a real blessing. And everybody around you sees it and notices it, and then it rubs off on them, you know? And this is how we're going to get it to get around, by example, by living it individually ourselves and those around us in time. Will acknowledge it, and some will acknowledge it quicker than others, but over time, it all rubs off. And that's how the Lord works. That's how the good Lord works. He sets his examples, and he lets it constantly rub off on its immediate surroundings, and then they won't be able to really subdue us and control us down. We'll be too resilient. And health is the key to it all. Physical, mental, spiritual health. That's what we always have to focus all our energies on maintaining.
Yeah. Okay, Michael. Well, that's the end of our show. I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints again.
My pleasure. Thank you, Don.
And I look forward to your next visit on the show. We've got Drew Malone Raines III as our guest tomorrow night, and I want to encourage people to tune in. It's always an exciting time, an informative time. I'm on Drew's show every Monday on blogtalkradio.com and on Wind Talkers Radio Network, who are actually broadcasting this show along with bbsradio.com. So be sure to tune in tomorrow. Michael, I look forward to your next visit, which is going to be on, I'm going to bring that date up right now, in fact. Let's see, you will be with us next month. So
great, Dan. I look forward to it as always, pal.
We've got to decide that date, but I have a feeling it's going to be around the first week of February. So
great.
Be looking Thank for you. The schedule. I'd bring it out before or right at the end of the month anyway. So you take care. Looking forward to your next visit with us, and
you too, Don. God bless everybody.
You have a great night. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's special guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting the show. Also, would like to personally thank bbsradio.com, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.